Hi, this is Martin Fowler, and you're listening to The Agile Uprising.
Greetings, and welcome to another edition of The Agile Uprising podcast. I'm this evening's host, Jay Hersko, and we have a little bit of a special episode for everybody tonight. So we are quickly coming up on the 1 year anniversary of the Agile Uprising. So what we plan on doing is we have most of our board is now sitting in front of me through video chat, which is a little disconcerting. And what we're going to do is we're going to go around the room and we're going to talk about what we've encountered in the past year. We're going to talk about what are the things that have most surprised us, what are the things that have disappointed us about what we've seen so far, and then what are we looking forward to in 2018. So we're going to do this as sort of a round robin. And what we're going to do is we're going to start with the first question. And as I point to you and call you out, just introduce yourself so the listeners can get a sense of who is actually speaking. And we'll go from there. So if there's no objections, we're going to begin. So the first question we have here is, in regards to the Agile Uprising, what has been the most surprising thing to you about this past year? And I'm going to start with you, Andy Clef.
The most surprising thing that I can think of that is with a little bit of moxie, we can do some pretty amazing things. I think if you think back when we concepted doing the Agile Manifesto 15th year retro, our definition of success was something like, yeah, we get three of the signers on the podcast. And then it became 5 and 10. What do we end up with? 15, 14 out of the 17?
14.
14.
I thought, yeah.
To date.
Don't give up hope.
I'm going to go next. I'm going to go to you, Chris Merman.
Oh, God. I'm most surprised that so many people from Philly can string together complete sentences.
Oh, we're not even two people in and the shots are fired. Well, here we go.
I'm preemptively firing them because I know plenty are going to come back my way. I will say that I don't know about the rest of you all, but a lot of my Agile community was very regionally focused. I live in Texas, as I've been made fun of for being so many times on the podcast. My community was just local to me or regionally to me because, you know, you go to the same kind of spaces and such. And really this group's kind of expanded just my understanding of the community. I've gotten to meet so many more people just through the rest of you. And it's been nice the last year being more nationally focused as opposed to just in my own little backyard kind of thing, if that makes sense.
Well, it does. Mr. Lockard.
So I'm kind of in the same vein as Merman. When we go back for the first round of everyone that was involved, the Agile Uprising wasn't even the Agile Uprising when we stood this thing up. There's a bunch of us that started talking at that conference before we started getting really wildly intoxicated. And we said, hey, we're going to do something where we bring like a voice to the Agile Philly community because there's a couple of Agile Philly groups. And we just didn't feel like it kind of captured the essence of what we wanted. So this was meant to just be, it's kind of funny, this was meant to just be a Philly thing. And almost immediately we realized that we were catching wind with different parts of the country. So I think the biggest surprise for me was really that this thing took off at a much larger scale than we ever imagined it would, in spite of our best efforts to keep it like just a group of like 10 people. It was like catastrophic boom, and then all of a sudden all this stuff started happening. So, and it is actually kind of cool that, like, you know, I still have never met Chris Merman in life, but one of my best friends, which is weird. So I'll throw that out there. In spite of his being from Texas and a Cowboys fan, good luck this year. Oh,
geez. Colleen.
My name's Colleen Johnson. You'll know me by the only female voice in the group. I think one of the things that surprises me the most about how much we've done in the last year is there's a lot of Agile podcasts. There's a lot of Agile blogs. There's a lot of Agile classes and resources. And like everybody said, there was still a need that Agile Uprising filled for a lot of the community and continues to fill for the community. I think in the sense of it being really peer-to-peer, not affiliated with any association or methodology or specific group. And I think that's part of our success and part of what makes, you know, what helps us continue to thrive.
Cool. Thank you. Paul Elia.
Dude, you got my name right. How about that?
I know. I have it phonetically written here on a post-it.
That's awesome, man. So I'm the newbie of the group. I've only been with the band for 2 months. And I found you guys, I think Martin Fowler broadcasting his podcast appearance caught me. And I totally loved the Manifesto series. And reached out to you guys, asked if you wanted a hand, and somehow here I am, and I'm having a good time with you guys. It's really nice to be playing with this level of expertise. Because I don't know, I mean, I think a lot of us we're in our own places of work right now, and we're doing our thing to bring Agile, and also in my case, DevOps, to the communities that we're serving. But to have this level of peers to play with every now and again is really fun.
And your accent rocks.
And I'm the only one with a Southern accent. Right. And that's the other thing I'll add is that it's usually considered more polite in the South, and you guys are anything but. I was Yankee born, rebel bred. So I miss some of that raw, I don't know what you call it, that you guys have in Philly, but we had that in New England too, and it's pretty cool.
Bless your heart.
Bless my heart. Yeah.
All right, Troy.
Okay, the question is most surprising. I would say how well the podcast has taken off. I mean, I didn't really see that happening. In fact, I haven't been on many episodes recently, but I listened to them, and I would say, especially the one today, I think I mentioned it on Slack. I really enjoy the podcast just as a listener as well. So I think, I know Paul, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you kind of came through the podcast. That was initially attracted you, right?
That was it.
Yeah.
The Manifesto series.
Right. So how well that podcast has taken off, and that's really a credit to everyone here on the board. And there's been a few people who have really contributed more than others, but overall, you know, I think the board as a whole has had a really good input into it, and so that's my biggest surprise, I would say.
Cool. Andrew Leff.
So for me, should I introduce myself since I was already introduced? And staring at the screen, I feel like we're on like the Brady Bunch intro with all the squares here. So for me, it's the level of community. So I rely heavily on this group for feedback and just bouncing ideas off of, as well as, you know, the level of community outside the board members. I really think we've created something unique in that sense, where people can feel safe to ask questions and look for maybe a different approach, or be open to a different approach, and really sort of thirst for something different. And not just the canned Agile response, but truly where we feel comfortable speaking our mind, what's on our mind, and possibly offer solutions that might be completely off the wall.
I like that. How about Jay? How about you? You asked everybody.
After me, we'll do Gifford. I think for me, the most surprising thing has really been, it's truly been organic reach, in the sense that we started with a podcast, to turn into a website, turn into some blog posts, and a discourse channel. And just the amount of people who have contributed, and we have people from all over the world now. I liked whoever's suggestion it was to add the country of origin flag. I think that's really cool. But it's just, we have a large amount of people contributing, and we all know that discourse isn't the greatest tool to drive that type of interaction. But we've seen a lot of interesting people come out of the woodwork, a lot of fascinating personalities. We have a lot of threads where people don't necessarily agree. And there's a lot of discussion back and forth where, no two people may have the same opinion about the one thing. And I think that's pretty interesting. And but it's never turned into a hostile type of discussion. I mean, but to what Ryan said, I mean, this, the whole genesis of this was a drunken post-conference happy hour, which Ryan wasn't at because, truth be told, he couldn't be there because he got thrown out of that venue previously for being inappropriate at a Disney-themed wedding. So when you see Ryan keynote something, make sure you ask him about it. But yeah, it was it's funny how a bunch of people hanging out, drinking a bit, bouncing ideas off each other. It's what it's become. It's pretty wild. Gifford, I think you're the last one to go.
I am. It's actually surprising that none of us got arrested the night that we were talking about that, because when that discussion actually went down, it was 6 hours into a happy hour that started at the Heart of Agile conference. So really, truly something that's been amazing this year is the fact that out of the uprising, out of all the podcasts, out of the discourse board, you know, we've seen at least two people that I know on record that have been socially hired because of the community. So actually, this is a place that people are coming to look for talent and find people to bring into their Agile journeys, to either coach or shepherd or even go into a consulting field that, you know, leaving a totally, you know, perm gig that he might have been burning out on to doing some really cool consulting work. So just to see that, to see the discourse board go from, you know, a handful of members to over 600 at this point. Now, not all of them are active, but there are a lot of reads every single day. The podcast numbers are just off the chart from where I had any hopes for them. The Manifesto series literally was like one of the most touching aspects of the entire year. And to have John Kern come down and introduce me to do that recap at the local meetup that we did was just like, I don't know. It was like, that was like the highlight of the year for me. So overall, man, it's been a year of just good meeting good people, creating great relationships and friends. And I couldn't ask for anything more.
Nice. Another night of debauchery that you're referring to.
There's a bit of a theme going on here.
Yeah, I know.
So Gif,
I don't know if people are going to catch on to that or not.
Should we hit him over the head with it? So Gif, let me flip to the other side of that coin and take the baton from you, Jay. James, what's been most disappointing in the last year?
Most disappointing. So now I had to go last, and now I have to go first.
Hot seat.
It's the snake draft, man.
It is the snake draft.
Do what Clef did and repeat the question back to Stahl so you can think.
I'm just going to pick a kicker. Now, so the most disappointing thing for the year is, so right after we finished up the Manifesto series, we had the wrap-up happy hour meetup. We had set out to do the Lean series, and we set out to do a book club, and we set out with a whole bunch of expectations, and we lost steam. And I get everybody got busy, everybody has lives, but we weren't really eating our own dog food. We weren't practicing what we preach. We desperately needed a retrospective probably about March of last year. It took us till, you know, August to get that together and refocus on our vision and replan and, you know, recommit. So that was pretty much the most disappointing thing of the year, is that, you know, not to air our dirty laundry, but, you know, for us as a group, for the amount of steam that we had, if we could have, you know, actually, what would have the end of this year looked like if we had actually recentered when we needed to? That's really the low point. Not to knock all the amazing stuff that we did, but, you know, March, April timeframe was kind of a turning point in the slowdown.
Yeah.
And a losing of focus.
We lost a little bit of steam there. Mr. Leff, you're up.
I don't like this question.
You can pass.
We can just volunteer.
I think we can pass.
No, I won't pass, but I don't know. I don't think I had any disappointments per se. I think we really set out to accomplish something, and we accomplished a majority of what we set out to. We lost some steam in defining what was next. We didn't look far enough down the road, because I'm not sure any of us were prepared for the level of attention or just how things were going to take off. So we were focused on a few things, and I truly believe that we invested in getting those things accomplished, and we really did that. So for me, it's not necessarily a disappointment. It's just, what's next? What are we going to focus on next? Where are we going? How are we going to disrupt the industry? How do we see that happening? So how do we start breaking that down and really starting to focus in and hone in on some of the areas that we're still identifying?
Yeah, good thoughts. Troy, you still with us? Your video disappeared.
I'm here, yes.
So the question is the opposite of what's been so surprising in a good way. What's been most disappointing from your perspective?
I had two things written down, actually, when you were asking the question. This might sound weird because we were just saying how surprised we were about the coalition, but in a way, I'm a bit disappointed in it at the same time, because personally, I've had a lot going on recently, but early on, I know I posted a lot on there, and I did feel like it could be a place that could have a lot more active users, and I kind of feel like, and maybe I failed, or I don't know what, I'm not sure what the solution is yet, and I don't know if we figured it out exactly, but I do feel like I would like a place where people can just go and discuss and learn, and from newbies to, you know, really experienced people, and as it is now, but have a lot more action going on. So to me, that's a bit of a disappointment over a year that I couldn't help.
Yeah, I want to yes and that one, and then bring it to Lockhart. You know, so we do get this great mix of experience and newbies, but like you, I'm disappointed that we don't have more daily active users. So maybe it's just right. Common of online communities, a small fractional percentage are very active, and the balance are absorbing from it. And that's only obvious to us through analytics. But we don't see active engagement. So I we saw it early on. I'm disappointed that we, for some reason, it didn't keep.
Yeah, that's about, so that.
How about you, Ryan?
Well, actually, I agree with what you two both said. And the one thing that is interesting, and Andy, I'll show you where I'm pulling this from, but if you look at the analytics with the coalition, we have a whole lot of visits and page reads. It's just anonymous, meaning people aren't logging in. So I think there's a, you know, if we take a step back and think about that, how can we change it to lower the login threshold so that people feel a little bit more welcome to communicate and participate? For me, I'm extremely disappointed that we did not roll out the Agile Uprising certification scheme that we were talking about for this year.
shirts and certs, baby, shirts and certs.
Yeah, I mean, we had a very light touch 27 certification level we wanted to roll out, but we couldn't figure out if the 27th one was going to be the enterprise certification, or if we wanted to call it the portfolio certification. So we had some internal struggles there.
Well, it's on the team level, and then we move up to the enterprise level as well.
Kuzak's not here because he's working on the global level, right?
Yeah. And then we go off planet.
Paul, it could have been the logo debate. That could have also sabotaged the.
Let's steal my answer.
Yeah. For me, there is no real There's moments where it's a group of I see 9 tiles here on the screen plus Kuzak. We got at least 10 board members. There's moments where each and every one of you pissed me off. So congratulations on that. But
do we do it singularly or all at the same time?
there's a couple of you that really manage to like group up, whether I try not to let you know it because then you figure out where the weak spots are. But
clever.
Am I in that group? Wait, please tell me I'm in that group. Please tell me I'm in that group.
I try so hard.
I want to so bad.
Who has the host controls? We need to mute all.
The reality is there is no disappointments. I mean, it's a group of a lot of type A's that want to see progress, and we all see progress a little bit differently. So over the year, there's going to be highs and lows. But, I mean, this is all volunteerism. Nobody's getting paid here, so there is no disappointment. If there's disappointment, I vote with my feet and I leave, and you know, that's not going to happen right now. It's a good group. True. We have a good mission. We're doing good things.
So true.
Paul.
Yeah, beautiful. Hey, yeah, I'm too new to say there was anything disappointing. I wasn't along for the original charter and to have these goals. I can tell you, you really touched me to want to reach out, and it's amazing to be a part of this group. It really is. I guess if I had to pick one thing disappointing, I want to get those last three signatories. Like, you know, I don't want to give up. And even if they want to trash the living daylights out of Agile, go for it. Tell us what you're up to today, you know?
Love it. Colleen.
I would say I think the most disappointing thing for me about the last year, well, other than missing some of the key events in Philly to get to drink with you guys in person, but I think, you know, we've batted around the idea of trying to kick off an Agile Uprising conference or an Agile Uprising event that would be kind of an anti-conference to what we see on a pretty regular basis. And that still really excites me. I hope we re-energize that effort, because I'd love to see us kick that off for 2018.
I think Andy Cliff doesn't realize he's on mute, so I'll go next. I think the thing that disappointed me the most is when I looked at his screen avatar, I thought Chris Merman would be hotter. And I thought he'd have like a real beefy Texas accent, you know, where he's like, I hang out with a shotgun on the weekends, and you know, if it ain't off road and it ain't driving. But no, he's got this real high pitched voice, and he wears an iPhone, Apple Watch, and it's just totally, totally disheartening.
Snowflake.
No, I think the most disappointing thing for me would be I wasn't more realistic in my expectations. Like, I had a little bit of delusions of grandeur. And I think that when I look at the reach that we've got, and I look how much we've developed, and where, like Brian said, nobody's getting paid. This is all volunteer time. And if any of the listeners can judge by the conversation to listen to, we had a lot of really strong personalities. And, I think maybe we were a little too over-optimistic or aggressive, but I don't think so. I think everything worked out for the better, and I think we've only got good stuff to come.
Yeah. Merm, closes out here.
Can we just spend a couple of minutes talking about the logo debate? Can we?
Let's time box it here.
No, we can't talk about it.
I mean, seriously, like, this is, like, for those, all right, so we'll lift you behind the curtain a little bit for listeners. We've been trying to come up with a new logo to look more hip and modern and edgy, and like basically we basically want a logo that's like Lef after he's finished a workout and working on his car, like flexing. Like, we want it to be like that raw animal magnetism power, and we just haven't been able to. There has been like. I have considered, like...
We do have video muting left.
That's the logo now.
That's it. That should just be the logo.
Yeah, left with the thing right
with
there.
With the rocks.
but can we put 17 words and our mission statement on the logo, like I've seen some versions of?
Have you seen Left's biceps? Yes, you absolutely.
Put 17
we
words
can get
on
to 26.
we will, at some point in time, update our logo. When as I forget, I think Jay said, like, there are so many, and God help him, Cusack's not here. He's probably a stronger personality than all of us combined. We just cannot all look at a design and go, yep, that's it. Everybody needs their say. And for a while I had to get explained, like someone very condescendingly explained to me how logo design works, even though that I've done it in the past.
but yet didn't design anything for the site. So. Got it.
I would just like I know y'all probably didn't know. I took a good week break from the Slack channel because I was like, screw all of you. I need to calm down and breathe.
So wait, we question your heritage. We question your choice in tattoos. We question the way. But when we talk about logos, that's over the line.
You're getting it right. You finally figured Berm out.
Yeah.
All right. Pretty so true. Do we have a third question, Berm? Pull one from the hat.
Shoot. I will get there. Ted Gummit.
Stretch. Stretch.
I don't have the. Where's the questions?
Oh, no, this is enough. This is a traditional podcast without editing where we get completely lost in the middle.
All right, I'd say, okay.
Refill your glasses. We'll be right back after this commercial break. Randy's drinking airline bottles, people.
Maple. He's drinking liquored maple syrup out of a flute.
As any man should.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll go back around. We'll start with Hershko. One thing that I really appreciate about that makes the coalition board that I think different than places like that cesspool of LinkedIn and even sometimes Twitter and even conferences, conference conversation. Like I feel like I've actually learned something from our members. There's been a lot of really, really smart people. We've had many luminaries, you know, contribute a few posts here and there. But there have been many, like, I'll call out, like, for me, one of the things that I really learned and appreciated off the site is Troy took it upon himself to, like, start a bunch of threads on, like, hey, post your ideas for, like, retrospectives or something like that. And, you know, I thought I was pretty educated on a bunch of them, and I thought, I've never heard of that one before. So I actually appreciate the site. So I'm curious, for those of you, everybody's been on the site at some time or another. So what's one thing that you've learned from our community?
I was waiting for you to get around to the question.
Shut up!
And now we know why our board meetings are 3 hours and everybody's drunk at the end of them. I guess I'll go first. So the first thing I've taken away, it truly is an even meeting in the minds, in the sense that when some of those threads that are out there, it, you don't know who's ever posting, if they've been doing Agile for 5 minutes or 5 years or in Paul's case, five decades.
Thank you.
But there's a healthy amount of information sharing. I think it was the, I like, I wish, I wonder. Retrospective, I think that's, and what's in our control, what's out of control, I think that's brilliant. I'm going to be using that next time. There was a great thread about books to read, what reading suggestions. I thought that was awesome because there was some stuff that in the Venn diagram of Agile Lean Thinking, it's on the periphery, but there were some really good titles that came out of there. Those are probably the two big things I took away. I read abnormally fast, and I'm still having trouble getting through a lot of that list because there was a lot of really good stuff there. Gifford, what about you?
Yeah, I really haven't learned anything because I'm the man. Just kidding. I don't know. I think it's, for me, some of the discussion around we did a whole podcast on it, on Undercover Agile. And sneaking in Agile really hit home. There was so much traction on that thread. Because we're all, it's a reality. We're all sneaking in practices and Agile and mindsets under the, you know, the noses of leadership that potentially will never get it, never get out of the way. So the only way to get it there is sneaking in. I got a lot of value out of the retrospective post. The book club has been the list of Agile books out there has been nothing but an amazing reading list that I'll never get probably to the bottom of at the rate I read. I, unlike Jay, read at the fourth grader pace. So, but truly just some of the laughs that I got out of some of the posts have just been absolutely fantastic. There's the, I think his name's like Dietrich. He's from Germany, but him talking about your post, Jay, about the balkanization of Agile, which I 100% agree with. But his reference to the how that turned into some religious discussion around the Ten Commandments and and religion, it's just kind of that kind of hit home. And it's kind of funny because it surfaced on Twitter again this week with the Josh Kariewski TV show that he puts out on YouTube. So it's just really funny to see some of these ideas from disparate people kind of coming together in various medias, just reaffirming that, you know, sort of our industry is a little bit broken and that there are people out there starting to recognize that it's broken. And now if we can only unite to do something about that.
If only we can make a cert that we united all of us. That's what we need.
One cert to rule them all.
Shirts and certs, baby.
A true Agile cert, if we can create it.
The one and only.
Not change.
Troy, go ahead.
Okay, so I have two I wrote down here. Piggybacking off the retro thread, and not because I created it, but mainly because I have been doing a lot of training recently at my current engagement, and it's a lot of Agile 101 style training. And I've also been working with a lot of Scrum Masters, and everyone, when I mention about this thread, about all these retro ideas, because a lot of these Scrum Masters, especially newer ones, they have a feeling where, oh, our retros are kind of old and we always do the same thing and this kind of thing, you know? So I point them to that, and I get a lot of really good feedback about that thread, even from my current engagement, just from people in training or Scrum Masters. So I do think people are reading it. Well, I guess they're not posting on the coalition, but they are reading it. And also, Andy, I'm not, you know, kissing your ass here, Andy, but your posts, personally, I get a lot of value out of them. And just as an example, your post today about, I don't know if it was today, but I read it today, about your leadership survey assessment and your quadrant analysis that you had with the
trusted ownership.
Yeah, the trust and ownership. That's what it was. Sorry, it's been a long day. Just trust and ownership. I actually shared that with a few other coaches here today, and I asked them, what do you think about using this here? And because I think it's fantastic. So, and I learned that from the coalition. So
the best part about him doing that today was he posted it in that channel by accident. And Andy's new favorite new thing is he just throws a wild ass idea at me and goes, here's some research in a white paper, read it. And he goes, and then write a blog post about it. And
so I'm not explicit. I'm usually pretty good. It's like, you know, there might be a podcast in here or a blog in here. Here's some background reading. And within like 24 hours, Merrim, you're amazing. You've got 750 words that are coherent. Like, did you sleep last night? And he's like, yeah, it took me 30 minutes. So I, you know, that points out, I forget what your question is, but I think I have an answer to a question. It's that we're much smarter together than we are separately. We piggyback off of each other's idea. We stitch them together. I personally don't think I've come up with a new idea in a long time. I've just aggregated and made some good concrete out of other people's ideas and played with them. And I've seen what you guys do with them, and you stretch them, you add them, you tweak them, and something new gets born out of that old idea.
Good point.
You know, it's really kind of fun to just jam with everybody.
Well, because it's, you know, because those topics, we make them, we all found, I think to a degree, all of us know how to make a topic personal to us, right? So your experience, so the first topic that, maybe not the first one, but the topic that I last wrote a blog post on, organizational silence, right? So Andy's experiencing some of that in his client, I'm experiencing it in my client, but they're different experiences. And when he throws me this white paper, I'm like, oh, well, this is what it is, and this is how it affects me. And I think that really, if there's anything that the coalition overall does, it does that together, right? Like, we make it personal, and then it makes it different, you know? Colleen experiences things differently, you know, Jay can't seem to ship to production, but he experiences things differently.
897 days and counting.
Sounds very agile.
Yeah. Hmm. Excuse me, I'm going to be back. I'm going to go swallow my own tongue.
Oh, I had a disappointment as well. I forgot to add one. It's about Jay.
Great. Yeah. Wow.
We could spend the rest of the show on that.
Everybody's favorite disappointment about Jay. Go.
Wait, we have a call in. Yes, Jay's mother's on the line. We'll put you through.
This is definitely the extended edition. The podcast can't be this long.
Just keeping time.
Jeez.
So my disappointment is that no one attacked you yet on Twitter for your Make Agile Great Again hat. I was waiting for that. So.
Well, there's also no pictures of it anywhere.
Oh, okay. I thought there was something up there.
And Jay's got two followers.
Yeah, one of which is Gifford, and I think the other one's Merman. Fair enough.
I'm not saying anything.
Do we need to call time on this question? Does anybody even remember what this question is?
Well, Colleen and Ryan haven't gone.
Yeah, I think this question was, what have we learned?
All right, okay, so Colin and Ryan.
Yeah. I haven't gone either.
Oh, Lev. Is Lev still here?
And Paul. Paul hasn't gone, I don't think, yeah.
I would definitely echo what you said, Andy. I think, it's kind of the collective group making everybody better. And like I said, with our first question, I think there's a shitload of resources out there for Agile. You can read how the Scrum process works or how the SAFe process works. I think what is harder to find is how to make ourselves better facilitators and better connectors and better organizers of the things that aren't so cut and dry. And I think that's what I've learned a lot on the coalition, is how to take some of those skills and really bolster them up in a more powerful and meaningful way to the people I'm working with.
You do bring the heart to the group.
What?
Because the rest of us are assholes.
You've clearly not seen Colleen at a conference. He's more hardcore than the rest of us.
All right.
Ryan.
Yes, Ryan.
What did I learn from the coalition?
Well, you were going to throw out a new question, I thought.
You're all right, I can do that. I'd rather do that. All the good answers were taken. So we all have been involved in at least a few podcasts, and it's no great secret that we have to edit things out to make us sound less stupid. For the group here, what is one thing that has been cut from a podcast that either makes you laugh or cry to this day? Never saw the light of day. Something that you're still sitting back thinking, I can't believe that was said. we'd be ruined if that ever got published.
Okay, Ryan. Barbara Liskoff, that was a good one.
Oh, Jesus, yeah, I'm an idiot.
It was your question.
Hold on. Raise your hand if your favorite thing that got cut from a podcast involves something that came out of Ryan's mouth.
Because everyone can see people raising their hand. That's a great audible, audio moment there.
It's understood that everybody's going to raise their hands. You patronizing woman.
In my defense,
I think Cam Newton just got in trouble for that.
Wait a minute. In my defense, we have Gifford on a lot of shows too.
I think the two things that got cut, I think, the first one is Gifford, where in the middle of an episode, his daughter's like toy set fell off the shelf above him, and nobody was looking at the video except me. And I see him sitting there, and all of a sudden this thing falls on his face and his arms go up, and it sounded like a train crashed.
It was a train. It was a Lego train set that just totally just decimated me.
That was one. The other one was Ryan, that one podcast where you called in from the Uber. And you were lit up like a Christmas tree, and you're going, "Hey guys, this is Mike McCalla," and you went on for 10 minutes insulting the guy because you thought he was on the podcast and he wasn't on the podcast.
And that was me impersonating McCalla.
It was amazing.
Colleen, do you remember at Heart of Agile this year when you, me, and Gifford were gonna tape and Colleen's in your wise decision making goes, let's do a shot and then let me get us each a drink and then let's start recording.
That does not sound like something I would say.
I know.
It would have been five
and
shots.
And I'm like, well, Colleen's buying. I mean, why not? And then
no
we
one said no.
Gifford's first, and he takes him a minute to get things set up, so the alcohol is getting to set in while this happens. And I swear the first 5 minutes, Gifford's just like talking, and then he's like, wait, am I recording?
Anybody else? Any good memories?
Well, there was the Mary and Tom podcast where I literally asked Mary her name just to get it right, because we've killed every Agile thought leader's name in the history of podcasting. Literally, I like she says it, I start the show, and then I just butcher it. Straight, how you screw that?
You did do justice there, because the reality is, and this should come as no surprise, we wanted to make sure we said the last name right. It's Mary Poppendick, and we didn't want to butcher the last name. So Gifford asked her, like, how, just to be clear, how do you say your last name phonetically? And she said Poppendick. And then literally within 45 seconds, he intros the show, and he messes up Mary. He got Poppendick.
I mean, that's a bit of our cachet, right? I mean, Ryan, was it Brett Schuchert? You butchered his name. I asked Josh, if you're listening, I publicly apologize. I asked Josh before it started. Karashevsky, right? And then he picks up, and I'm like, Josh Karashevsky. And that's when we were still using the web meeting. And you could see his face like, are you fucking kidding me? I just told you a minute ago. That was awful. Talk about embarrassing.
I laughed so hard when I heard that the first time.
He was not happy. And with someone with my fucked up last name, you'd think I'd get it right, you know?
But it just further goes to illustrate how much easier it is to coach organizations than it is for a collective group of coaches to actually organize themselves.
No doubt.
Well, this is the first time we got called name, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. That was awesome. Good question. I'm going to throw a gaffe out there. Andy knows I did it. We are doing a podcast with Heidi helping, and I go ahead and volunteer as she's talking about her book that I haven't read her book, that I have gone to her talks at conferences, but I've never read her book. That made it to the cutting room floor. And she had to hear it. At least nobody else had to hear it, but now everybody has heard it.
Now we've heard it.
I was interviewing about his book, and I couldn't remember the damn name of the book. Like, there's a good 5-second clip that's somewhere on my hard drive of me just having this complete meltdown of me yelling at my own brain for not being able to remember the name of the book.
Or when we interviewed David Bernstein, and you yelled at me because you asked him, where can you get your book? And David said, oh, you can get it off my website, you can get it off Amazon. And Ryan said, oh, where do you get more money from? And David said, oh, I get exponentially more of my website. And I go, yeah, that's awesome. After having this conversation, David, I ordered your book off Amazon. And Ryan just starts cursing at me. Are you fucking kidding me? We just had this discussion. He makes more money. That definitely hit the cutting room floor.
I mean, Ryan opening up the James Grenning podcast.
We're gonna kill that in post. All right, so let's take this one home because we're starting to get a little long here. As far as the group goes, what are you most looking forward to in 2018? And I'm gonna go back around the horn as my video looks, Mr. Leff. I'm gonna start with you. What are you most looking forward to for the group in 2018?
2018, wow, seems so far away. I'm waiting for the first $1 million check to come in from Agile Uprising. I guess for me, it's just figuring out new ways to connect and different ways to coach and new experiences. I don't really have a very witty answer. So it's just continuing to do what we're doing and continue to be, to me, this never feels like work. So that's why I truly enjoy, dedicating the time to do it. So I hope to be able to continue that and hopefully it never feels like work.
Awesome. Merman?
Man, I think one of the things that we're starting to do more of is cross-channel stuff. Like, for example, Troy had a really great idea of using Twitch that we broadcasted once. We're trying to do more stuff where we tie in blogs to podcasts and kind of have a you know, a voice. And the only voice we had was the podcast for the longest time, and it's still our most popular channel. But I think that if we could do that, and the only other thing maybe would be like we go to a conference or something and I see someone wearing an Uprising shirt, that would be like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah,
that would be fun.
We'd have to have Uprising shirts that got handed out first.
Well, we need a logo, we need a logo on the t-shirts.
Troy.
So the question is, looking forward to in 2018, right?
Mm-hmm.
Personally, on a personal note, I'd like to get a little more involved in the podcast again in 2018. As far as being a guest, because I used to be at the early stages, but haven't been in a while, and I do kind of miss doing that once in a while. As well as growing the engagement, whether it's on the coalition or as Merritt mentioned, Twitch, because that's something that I started and I'd like to continue that. And I have a lot of ideas for it. For me, it's just time. So I think coming into the new year, though, I should be able to get some more time to start doing that stuff. So.
Great. Awesome. Colleen.
2018. I'm excited to start seeing people other than us referencing Agile Uprising. I've actually heard it a couple times in conferences or interactions with other people. We've all worked really hard to plug Agile Uprising in our talks and in our stuff that we're promoting, which has been a great way to get new people to the coalition. But now I'm starting to hear our members doing it and other folks, and that's really exciting to me. So I hope we continue to see that viral growth in the new year.
Great, great. Andy Clef.
All of what you guys said, plus the opportunity to meet more of our coalition members and listeners in real life. If we get the tattoos or the t-shirts or the caps, we'll be able to identify each other. But because we don't have the secret handshake yet. I'd love to get to know some of the regular contributors. I'd love to get to know some of the people who are really jazzed by what they hear and what we write, and get to have some in real life discussions with them.
Paul.
So I know this is a controversial topic, but I'm going to say it. We need to raise a little bit of money. Stay a nonprofit, but raise a little bit of money so that these things that have been listed prior to me speaking can come to life, you know, so we can have the caps and the shirts and the conference presence and stuff like that. And we got to find a way to do it like the good nonprofits. I know that there are nonprofits out there that manage to take sponsors and not lose their brand, lose their way.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Gifford.
We're going to have to just put us out there and put us on the hook for it, really. April 2018, FailCon. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are going to do that conference, Jay. We got to get the sponsorship stuff going out tomorrow, next week. So, hey, if you're a business and you're listening to this and you'd like to help us promote the failures of Agile's transformations, coaching, we're going to do a whole event on failing with Agile. We always highlight the glory. So let's talk about the bad. Let's talk about the ugly stuff under the rug. So I am looking forward to the FailCon.
Awesome. Awesome. You stole my answer. Mr. Lockard.
I'm looking forward to fighting with Paul about us not raising money and figuring out a way to bootstrap.
Was that from or a con for raising money?
I mean, there always is the car wash with Jay in a tank top.
Hey, here's 20 bucks. Don't wash my car. Put that guy in a muumuu. It might work. It might work.
We'll make more money if Lev's in the tank top.
Hey, I know what I'm good for.
Eye candy.
Beefcake.
I think that was everybody. As far as me, Gifford stole my answer, but I think the other thing I'm looking most forward to in 2018 is when we started to lose a little bit of our momentum, somebody made a remark. It might have been at the summer retreat after multiple beers, where we don't have to do all this ourselves. We have a very active and engaged audience. We have members who are contributing. Let's lean on them. And we're starting to get more people want to contribute on the podcast, want to people put blog posts up. So there's a hunger there. And I think we've only, now that we've seen it and we're starting to use it, I think that's really, really impressive. And if we keep leaning on the community, like I think it was Andrew Leff said that it really is apparent when we all get together how much smarter we are as a group. I think as we continue to lean on the members, it can bear nothing but fruit. And I'm going to steal a Jamie Josta line here. A rising tide raises all ships. And as long as we keep getting that tide raising, all of our ships go up with it.
But that was actually Andy Kleff that said it. So as much as I want to take the credit, I'll pass the credit off.
Andy, I should have put Kleff, the jazz voice Leff, together.
You know, we both have the same sort of guns. See, look. Some of our board members aren't here tonight, so we've thrown some barbs and arrows at a few of them. But shout outs to all of them.
So it's a good point. So I think just to circle back to that, I think Jason Cusack, who isn't on the call, which is a shame, but this started a long time ago when a few of us got together doing something before the coalition was even started. So this kind of came about with, he got the ball rolling with a lot of this to build the community, and it pulled some people together to really focus on doing things differently. So definite shame that he's not on the call, but important to call out that he definitely got the idea seeded with a lot of us.
Good call. And I also would like to give shout outs to both Andy Bacon and Mike McCalla. They were both founding board members, unfortunately, whose careers took them on a different path and they had to step away. And we do appreciate, I think I speak for all of us, but we appreciate all the work that they put forward. We do appreciate it, and hopefully we cross paths with them, but hopefully we get to work with them again in some function. And I also think we should give a shout out to Rob Lichetti, who was going to be on the board for a hot second, but then he had some career stuff come up and he had to step down, but he's actually been very active and participating. He was on Troy and I's Agile Music podcast that everybody hated. But I want to give him a shout out too.
Downloads.
Yeah. Three of them were me to all my devices. And but I do want to give him a shout out too, because he's contributed as well and thrown some good stuff out there. So we want to let everybody know that even if you are gone but not forgotten, and we do appreciate all your efforts. And with that,
if you're gonna be in DC next week for Agile DC, Colleen McCalla, Cusack, myself, who else is gonna be there? Is
that Gifford.
It? Gifford will be there. Yep, we'll all be there. So come make fun of us and throw tomatoes.
But I think also it's important to thank the community also for participating.
Yeah, here.
And being an active participant or active participants in the effort, and really giving us the drive to want to continue to do this. And one of the things I didn't mention was for 2018, I'd like to see more engagement from the community, whether it be on podcasts or discourse, just threading topics and becoming more active in these types of discussions. It'd be great to start showcasing individuals that are as passionate as the 10 of us.
Well, and it's also not enough to just like, it's also not enough that they've participated. It's that they've changed the conversation. We've seen the conversation on Agile go in some really awful directions the last few years. And one of the things I love about our members is that they want to be a force for good, and they want to make it more positive and helpful to the community.
And with that, I want to thank all of you for taking the time out this evening. I know it's a Monday. I can tell by the video that most of you are sitting in a hotel room somewhere. So I appreciate your efforts. I appreciate your time. I want to thank all the listeners and all the coalition members, anybody who submitted a blog or a podcast idea. We appreciate it. Look forward to continued growth and success in 2018. We hope you enjoyed the show, and I can't wait to do this at the five-year mark. And by then, hopefully, I will have code in production. And with that being said, this is Jay Hersko from the AU signing off.